Sensitive topics may be discussed throughout this episode, which may be a trigger for certain listeners. Please be advised that we are not mental health professionals. We are simply speaking about our own personal journey. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis or emergency, please contact the Community Crisis Services at 519-973-4435 or visit your nearest emergency department. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Hello, Hello World podcast with me, Candace. Today's episode is with the lovely Miss Ellison Daz. She is an artiste, comedian, podcaster, just all in all, epic human. I started following her podcast early last year and just was somebody that I admired right away. This is probably going to need a trigger warning for anyone who may be sensitive to topics such as addiction, suicide, depression. You will definitely learn something from this episode. Then grab yourself some water. And thanks for listening. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, yay. You sound so clear and amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't you love when that happens?
I do. Oh, my gosh. I think this is the first time anyone is probably my first person talking to that has an actual mic that they're talking through, though.
Doesn't it make the world of a difference?
It does. It actually does. I just invested in, for the longest time, I was doing my first podcast with my phone and earbuds.
Yeah.
And I just invested in a microphone because I started a new show. So I thought, I can't sound tinny and like I'm in a cup and then my co-host sounds amazing and spectacular. And then there's Candace. Sounds like, you know, I'm in a teacup. So
that's exactly, it's so funny that you use that example, because when I was working with my audio engineer on some songs, Alex Kratz is his name, I would always use that. I'm like, well, I sound like I'm in a tin, but we were using all of the proper equipment, but I still always said that. I'm like, why do I sound like I'm in a tin can?
Yeah. And did you ever fix that, or do you still hear
it? Oh yeah, he has like gold records and stuff. He can fix everything.
Oh. Okay.
But that was just like, the tin can reference is always my go-to.
Amazing. It's a good reference. I think of specifically, I don't know if you've seen Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton version with Johnny Depp.
I don't know that I have.
Oh, it's pretty fantastic. Our family watches it quite often, but he sticks Alice in a teapot, and the sound of it is exactly what I feel like I sound like if I'm not using my microphone.
Well, I'm happy that you invested in one. Leveling up, baby.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you for being on my show. You're amazing. I'm speaking with Ellison Daz, who has the most amazing name. Like, I love saying your name and listening to you on your podcast. This woman has incredible achievements, and I'm totally obsessed with your content, and thank you again. Thanks for coming on. Yay.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So we connected through good old Instagram, because I mean, I think that's the new way of the world.
Apparently so, eh?
Does anyone see anyone anymore? I think that I just have Instagram friends and Instagram associates. But you were so welcoming, and I felt really compelled to reach out to you with voice clips.
That's my go-to as well. So I'm glad that you hopped on that train.
And you responded and said, no, don't feel like it's weird. And all of my friends and people listening that know me are like, yeah, that's how you communicate. But to a stranger, sometimes it can be a little bit weird.
I preface all of my voice notes now when I send them through Instagram. Hey, hope this isn't too invasive, but I'm gonna do it anyways.
Yep, exactly. And it's never really too invasive, but folks like you and I need to kind of, preface with, hey, I might think I'm doing something really fucked up, and you're not gonna think that, but I'm gonna have to tell you that it might be fucked up anyway.
Yeah,
Oh God,
precisely.
what's your
Precisely.
birthday? I need to know if you're Sag.
I'm an Aquarius, actually.
Ooh, okay. You remind me very much of someone I grew up with from a young child and still currently very close with, and she's a straight Sag, and you very much remind me of her. It's a good thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Aquarius and Sagittarius are supposed to be like the best partners, are they not? Because one's the imaginative one, like the Aquarius, and then the Sagittarius is the one. The Sagittarius is the one that holds the arrow, right? And goes and
Correct.
gets the stuff done. So it's kind of like a juggling of like turning imagination or ideas into real life when you put the two together. I think, though. I
I
also.
love that you know that. That makes me happy. I know lots about that stuff too. Yay. Another thing I didn't know about you is that you know about zodiac signs.
Yeah, I like it.
Yay. So there's so much for us to talk about.
Yeah.
You have a blog, you have a podcast, you're a beautiful artist. You wear lots of different hats, but I want you to talk a little bit about, let's start with the podcast because it's what
Sure.
I most heavily follow. Tell me a little bit, if you want, about you and why you started and how you started the podcast. Blue is
Sure.
beautiful.
Yeah, I started the podcast Blue is Beautiful about 2 years ago, I think. And I kind of stumbled into it on, not on accident, but I was a shift in terms of creativity. I had just finished recording, I think like eight songs at the time, and I was gearing up to kind of, start performing, singing and rapping. For the first time, I had done stand up and improv comedy and things like that, but I had not done singing yet. So I was gearing up, and the world shut down, as we all know, which we don't even touch on today because there's other channels for that. But so I had to shift, and I don't stop talking at all ever. And creating, so a way for me to channel all of that and still, in a sense, be able to perform was through podcasting. So I kind of switched into that. And I chose to pick the niche of comedy and mental health because I'm like, that sounds really hard. Let's do that. But yeah, I think my podcast, I just really like sharing my stories because I recognize that at times I'm quite mental. And if I have also grown the ability to step outside and look down, not look like down as in frown upon, but look down from a different perspective, like a higher perspective, and realize how funny it is when you can do that. So I'm like, well, that might help a lot of people. So that's kind of what I do in the show, talk about that type of stuff. It gets really dark and it gets really funny.
Yeah, it does. It's very much those two things, dark and funny. And sometimes, like, you've made me cry in an episode too. So it's all the feels, but I love the honesty behind it because even in your show descriptions, you're not holding back to the listeners as to what they can expect. It's all pure honesty, and the people you have on have been fantastic.
Thank you, aren't they? And if you guys are listening to this and you have been on the show, thank you for coming on. Everybody loves you.
Honestly, you have, this is my opinion,
I love it.
not everyone's opinion, but I just feel as though the people that have been, it's very great to see your growth from the beginning shows. I haven't listened to them all. There are quite a few. However, I go back and forth, but the growth and I don't know. Do you feel as though you've grown through this yourself? I hear growth in yourself, even if that's a little too personal. I'm sorry,
No,
but
that's not. That's totally fine. I was thinking about this last night because I actually don't like I record my podcast, then I edit it, and then I upload it and schedule them, right? I don't ever go back to listen to them again. So, and I was having this conversation with myself last night, being like, should I go back and like see if I've grown? And I was like, I don't even know. Well, and do I have time to do that? Like, I don't even know if I should, but I'm just going to believe you and hope that that's true.
I see it. You know yourself the best. I know you probably debate that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Honestly, I have seen growth and like, you just speak, you know, better about yourself and stuff in the more recent ones, I find.
You know what? Yeah, actually, you're the second person that's pointed that out. Cause that's kind of like, that's a really fun, niche kind of, because if you look at comedians like Kevin Hart, right? Mm-hmm. He shits on himself, but he's the funniest person ever. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, that is a total niche of comedy. And I'm like, wow, I really picked my job out for this one. Cause it's like, you can only make fun of yourself so much for the purpose of comedy and still be graceful with mental health. So now I'm flirting with that line. Right. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have noticed that. And some of the more recent ones that I've recorded, I've shared stories and I'm trying to actively share the shitting on myself aspects in the past. And then I will verbalize, you know, how I walked through once I noticed I was doing the shitting, to kind of help. Cause otherwise I'm just, you know, beating myself over the head, which I don't need more of, to be frank. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, yeah. I think we all do that. Some of us take it more, you know, personally, and it affects us differently. Some people can move on from it. Some can't. I feel as though we learn from the past, but we can't be stuck there.
Yeah.
Learn from our past experiences. And that I think what you're doing, and you're doing it on a platform for us to see and relate to.
Yeah.
It's very important that people tell their truth, because then even if one person, you've said it before, I help one person. It's a cliche thing to say, but it's so fucking true.
It's the truest.
One DM. I mean, like I said to you the other day in a DM, I know our DMs can get a little bit, I can't imagine like people who have millions of followers or even thousands.
But I don't think they reply anymore. I would imagine. You'd have to stop.
No way. And yeah. It's like, you know, some of them I don't even open yet or right away. So I can understand what they're going through, but, it's just heavy, a lot of stuff, a lot of realism. Guys, you need to check it out. you're on Patreon. Like, I just don't know how you do all of this stuff and still are such a great human being. You must be socially exhausted sometimes.
Yes, actually. This is such a – there's just a – sorry, I'm stuttering. I'm getting a little hopped up, everybody.
Okay.
This is another conversation I had with myself last night. And I was about to say, this is such a strange vibe I'm having with you, because I'm like, I already asked myself all these things yesterday and had these conversations. So I'm kind of tripping out, because I am like, I do wear a lot of hats and I do a lot of things, but and it does get crazy at times, but I also know that if I am not creating all the things and not doing all the things, I am not happy. I'm depressed. And I feel like I'm not using my God-given gifts per se. Mm. So I am socially exhausted. I don't really do a whole lot of social things. People always comment, be like, you must be such a riot at parties. I'm like, no, I'm not. I put it in my schedule, the time I'm going in and the time I'm going out.
Yeah, for sure.
Because also I think a big part of it too is I want to be the absolute best version of myself everywhere I go. And in order to do that, I need to make sure that I manage my energy properly. So I can't exert myself socially all the time, whether that's one-on-one with family member or whether that's in a party setting or going out for dinner. I can't do that, because if I do too much of it, then I'm not the highest version of myself per se. Mm-hmm. And that's always what I strive for. So not a big social life.
So It's interesting that you say that because I feel my dog hasn't made an appearance in a while, and I told myself that she was going to today, and look what's happening. She's barking.
You did that, Candace.
Oh
You
my
manifested
gosh. I think
that.
we're just like psychic today, but I feel as though myself in the same thing. I socially feel tired after being out. I also get lots of messages and energies from people. So that's exhausting, but recognizing it now is, and knowing, girl, that this is what the fuck is happening. And when I would get home in my previous years, I would think, oh, I'm just tired. But now I know why. Like,
Yeah,
now I'm not
100%.
going to that wedding or that party because I can't handle it.
Yeah, absolutely. Recognizing it is a huge deal. And I think a lot another aspect of it is prioritizing yourself, because I used to go, 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 go. Just, people pleaser, just go. Can't let anybody down, have to show up, have to be there, have to be the life of the party, have to. But like, I was making that the have to, and I was doing that to my own self. And I wasn't, and by doing that, not putting myself first. And we all know how that shit goes, right? Let's be
Yes.
honest.
When you
Down
know
on.
better, you do better. Very well
Yes.
said.
Yes.
You have a on your website, you have a totally mental mindset program. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Totally. I learned a lot through my journey going through therapy. And for those of you guys, for those of you who don't know, I was diagnosed with ADHD as an adult woman. So my life was crazy, and I had no idea what was going on until, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. Game changer. So I learned a lot through seeing a psychologist and then getting that part of my life sorted out. And then I also learned a lot through lifestyle changes and then also having a purpose for life, and figuring out what that purpose was. And I had a lot of mentors, and not everybody has that. Not everybody has mentors. Not everybody even knows how. How do I figure out like what my purpose is, or like how do I figure out how to turn what I love to do, or your mental health outlet, which I do, into a business so that your purpose is being, fulfilled, and you're happy from your toes to your head, and you have a support system around you. And I needed that. And if I didn't have that, dealing with that, what I was dealing with at the time, I don't think it would have been good. So yeah, that's kind of what I do in these mindset programs. It's just 1 hour for 8 weeks straight, and you get homework, you get tools, you get connected with a bunch of people, and we just kind of go through thought processes, how you choose to look at things, what turns your crank, what gives you life, how can you help other people? Because I think another huge part of me overcoming my depression, like I was suicidal. I did the wrist slitting, I did the pill pop and all that jazz. And what I found really helped was being of service to other people. If you can help people, like you feel good. So finding inside of me what I enjoy doing, but also is a service to other people, really, really helped me. So that is kind of that's what we're doing over there in the Totally Mental Mindset program.
It sounds like a really great program for anyone in general, not even necessarily somebody who thinks that they have, or in need to concentrate on their mental awareness. It just sounds like an all-around great program. It's very vividly outlined on your website, so anyone interested in that should check it out. It seems like a beautiful program.
And you'll laugh too, by
Oh, no doubt. Come on.
the
How can you not?
way.
You're also a cre I mean, just your creations of art are pretty breathtaking. And
Thank you.
yeah, what is your style title?
It's a great question. Maybe for a professional. I don't know. I started, I always did art. It was always a thing. And I remember being very little telling my dad, I want to be an artist when I grew up. And at the time it was like, not really a thing, kid. Like, how are you going to pay your bills? Everyone thinks, like, if you're going to be an artist, you're going to be broke, right? So I kind of put it on the shelf and just did it once in a while. And then when I moved out west, Vancouver is a beautiful place. I was surrounded by nature. I was just, you know, everything was, it was a vibe. And I started cranking out artwork, and I started selling it, like big ones too. Like what size was that massive one that I sold? I don't know, 3 feet by 5 feet, big. And then people started wanting bigger ones, and I'm like, I can't do that in my house. It won't fit through the door. Or like, what am I going to rent a truck to get it? Like, it was just a lot. So I started doing it on my iPad and then blowing them up to these massive scales. The ones on my website are ones you can hang in your home. So you guys don't need to go and be like, I can't fit a 5 foot paint. No, there's like normal size things there. But yeah, so then I went into the digital world, and that was just awesome.
Yeah.
I sit still for an hour straight and will paint. And it's just, it's a definitely a mental health outlet for myself.
Mm-hmm. It seems as though all you, you briefly listed for me, like when you're you're feeling maybe depressed. When you're rapping and doing music, you're usually angry. If you're feeling creative, you make awesome reels, which are so freaking funny.
Thank you.
You're so great. I would like to know your brain for a minute. If you could swap brains with people.
I don't know if you'd want that.
Why not? You probably wouldn't want mine either, my friend, honestly. It's busy. Maybe it'll give each other a break, you know? People take each other's kids for a break. Like,
yeah. Or, you know, what was that show when people swapped homes or swapped moms? Like that for 24 hours?
Mom swap.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it would be fun.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. In hindsight, probably not. But, like, let's just talk briefly here. So I want to talk, you touched base on being suicidal and being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult, which I know is not easy as an adult to get that diagnosed properly, and those things are quite heavy, but I can't wait to talk to you about them. But I'm going to separate this interview a little bit and talk to you about some random questions.
Yes, yes.
Very random.
Oh, I know. I listened to your latest episode and I was already trying to figure out what questions you were going to ask me, even though I had no idea. But I'm stoked, so let's do it.
Yeah. So at first, full disclosure, my first maybe 20 to 30 episodes, I would use the internet for guidelines for questions. But now I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think of something, or they're very random. They're all Candace, all weird as hell.
Love it.
The first one's not super weird, but what is your spirit animal, do you think?
Do I have to pick one?
No.
Okay. Well, one is going to be a sloth for sure. Because I really do enjoy sleep a lot, especially in the winter. And they move really slow. And I just look at them and I'm like, fuck, I want to be you, man. Like, that looks nice. And, they're kind of cute and they got dangly arms. So maybe a sloth. And, my other one would be something in the water that has to always be in the water. Maybe a whale or not a dolphin. They're too smart. And if I want to be someone that's kind of just doesn't really know a whole lot that's going on and just swims and eats and takes naps, that would be nice as well.
Like the Eeyore of the sea.
Yeah, but less depressed.
Don't bother.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Love it. You're a fly. And if you were a fly, which would you be landing on to have a listen in, and why? I may not be worded the best, but I totally understand.
Okay. I totally get it. I can see it. I'm just trying to be smart. I'm just going to say the first thing that came to my head. If I was a fly, I would, first of all, get a winter coat and winter boots made for myself that fit me as a fly, and I could still fly in it, and goggles and a hat and scarf and mittens. I don't know if they would put mittens on their feet, whatever. I'm going to be buttoned up to the max. And then I would fly to Antarctica to investigate. I don't know who, but I've been obsessed with Antarctica lately, and I feel like we don't know anything about what's going on there.
Yeah.
Also, I'd be a fly. But then I wonder if they would know that something was up, because I don't think flies would be doing too hot up there.
Especially flies with full blown jackets on.
Yeah, like there's some, you know, shoot it down. Imminent threat.
Oh my goodness. I have I'm very visual, so I was flying around the continent for you. The area. Wow, that's really interesting. And also love that you said you're obsessed with Antarctica right now, because I go through phases like that. I like geography and stuff, and divulging myself in new information about countries, and I will hyper focus on countries too.
Oh yeah. And the only reason I said Antarctica, I'm not like totally obsessed, but maybe it's what I'm doing in my time when I need to not think. Okay. You always have to have one of those activities.
Yeah.
And I despise, like, I used to like Netflix. I don't like Netflix anymore. Anything on it, don't care. Get away from me. Because I feel like everything is kind of the same now. I don't know. It's in a box in my head. Mm-hmm. And so I moved on to other platforms. And my most recent thing that I've been watching to calm me down, and so that I don't think about work before I go to sleep, is flat earth documentaries.
What? Oh wow.
Because I'm like, why are so many people like, what's up with this? What's going on here? So I am in the middle of a 10-part series with learning about this flat earth theory. So that's, and they talk about Antarctica in like a couple episodes ago. So I'm like, I need to go there as a fly. We need to know if this is true.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting choice of show as well.
Oh yeah. Anything that can get me like thinking about like, or space, like,
yeah,
which I think is ironic. But like space really calms me down, or watching things about deep ocean, underwater stuff, just has nothing to do with anything calming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the, actually had a new logo made, and why are we so in tune right now? I told him that I love space meeting the depths of the ocean. Like, I legitimately had a t-shirt made last year that is an astronaut holding hands with a deep sea diver.
Ooh.
So I love that, and it calms me down too, even though space is endless and fucking weird and creepy when you really think about it, but it calms me down to watch things about it.
Me too. Me too. You watch any, like, I don't know, any documentary about anything happening on planet Earth, and it's just like, I could get a little hyped up about it. But then you go down in the ocean, I'm like, oh, this is the most soothing thing. It feels quiet.
Yeah.
Like, I get the feeling of, you know, and simple, even though that's very far from the truth.
It is, but I understand what you're saying, and I agree. Next question. Which would you prefer as a roommate, an ostrich or an eagle?
Ooh, probably an ostrich, because then if we got along, I could ride it to the store.
To Antarctica.
Yeah, or it could pull me in the winter, maybe. Do ostriches, are they okay in the snow? How do they do with snow? Anyway, we're going to pretend they do. Maybe they have really sharp claws and they have good ice grip, and it would pull me in a toboggan. And I feel like an eagle would peck my eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
But somehow I'm not scared of the ostrich pecking. The reach is way longer.
Way. Oh, my goodness. That was quick. You answered that one very rapidly.
Yeah.
Nice. Those are my random questions.
I loved those.
And if I were you, I would be able to edit my show and put a little like cute song there, and then we'd start talking again, but I don't know how to do that. So,
well, this is where you go, "Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in today. We're just pretend a nice song is playing while we just move on to the next segment, okay?" Welcome back.
Welcome back. Oh, I'm here with Ellis and Daz, and we are speaking on all things amazing and blue at the same time.
Yes.
I'm very interested to know your story with ADHD and how hard it was for you. Maybe it wasn't for you hard to be diagnosed and so forth with it as an adult, if you don't mind talking about that.
Yeah, totally. So my entire life was/felt like a shit show, and I would kind of be, I would see the doctor and say, "I think I have anxiety. I think I have depression," like something. My brain didn't work right. Managing my emotions was always exceptionally difficult. I had, body image issues. I would obsess over things for a certain amount of time until I knew everything about it. And then I'd move on. Things like that. Oh yeah. And I was suicidal. I should have probably opened with that. Self-harming, had a serious problem with alcohol and just impulsivity through the roof. Just a shit show, guys. And this is putting it lightly. And then when I was out west in living in Vancouver, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get help. I'm going to go see a psychologist specifically for my anxiety. Found one. The first one I met up with was amazing, which is like, oh, thank you, God. Mm-hmm. And we got along well. She gave me tools and sent me home with homework and things to do. She picked my brain, and it was really, really great. And very, very hard as well, I may add. It's not a fucking cakewalk by any means. But it was amazing. And I would see how much I would progress when I put all this work into reprogramming my brain, because we were working on anxiety at the time. And it worked. Like, it worked. These tools she gave me, and these thoughts that I used to have that caused literally, like, not paralysis quite there, but bad, not good things. I changed, and I do still have anxiety, but it's not like I won't be standing at a corner of a street and adjust where I'm standing to avoid the hypothetically getting killed by the next bus that comes by. Like, that's where I was at. Mm-hmm. So I'm not scared of buses anymore. So that's great. Woo, yay for me. And
what about barbecues?
I still refuse to light barbecues. Thank you. I love that you know that.
I do. Yeah. I told you I listened.
I do not like barbecues at all. I'm scared they're going to explode. I don't like propane tanks either. And no, I'm not talking to a psychologist about that.
You can talk to me about it.
Like, I would much rather light a fire in the backyard and like cook on top of that than light a barbecue. But yeah, things like that just got so much better, and my life got better, and my relationships, every relationship that I had, you know, parents, siblings, work, everything got better. It was just so awesome. And then, so I was thriving and then like in a really good space, but I just noticed that like I still wasn't working right. And it felt like I had glitches all the time, because I was still having like instant intense emotion, and like, I would feel really, really guilty, like unnecessary amounts of guilt over things that would like just go whoop over other people's heads. Mm-hmm. And just big emotions. And for those of you guys who don't know about ADHD, it has a lot to do with emotional dysregulation or dysfunction, not just not being able to sit still or concentrate and focus, mm-hmm. especially with women. So I was going through things like that, and I was telling her, like, you know, there's something going on, you know, beyond anxiety. I know myself pretty well at this point. I've been in therapy doing all the work. And I also, one thing I kind of forgot was that I couldn't read very well for a long time. I don't really know how else to say that. I just couldn't read very well. And I could read words, but I just wouldn't understand what was going on because I would lose my focus. I later learned, like, three words in or a sentence in, and I'd have to start over and over and over. Like, I couldn't pay attention to the reading. And it didn't matter if I changed the font either. So it wasn't my eyeballs. And yeah, so I basically found out with her, through her, that through the ADHD, that it might be ADHD. I'm like, well, can we figure this out? Because it's kind of fucking up my life here. And this is really not appropriate, and I'm not advocating for this at all. I'm just telling the truth. This is how it happened. She suggested, well, if you think that's it, why don't you try having a coffee in the morning? I'm like, because caffeine has opposite effects, because it's a stimulant. It calms us down or helps us focus, as opposed to, you know, putting some pep into your step. So she asked, and at the time I had a very strict morning routine, and I had coffee, like a certain amount of coffee, and I made it at home, and I also blended in these other things, MTC oil and butter. I know it sounds gross, but it's really good, and put it in the blender. So it's like, helps you focus. And I was already doing that for health reasons. So I told her, you know, I'm already doing that, so what's up? Like, you know, and then I told her that, like I mentioned earlier, I had a problem with alcohol, and I was also doing drugs at the time as well, which don't do, obviously, guys. And I remembered when I would be out at like a club or something, and everybody would be doing a little bit of the bit of the sniffles, and they would just be wired and off the walls. And when I did it, I was calm, and I just didn't talk. I just calmed right down, and I didn't really speak. Which, if you've ever seen people on these drugs, it's like, you can kind of effing tell if they are. Absolutely. And so I mentioned this in like casually, it just came up in conversation. I told her, I was like, because we were talking about stimulants, and I was like, oh, well, I don't do this anymore, but every time I did, I calmed down. And like, sometimes I would go home and like read and stuff. And she goes, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. She goes, okay, well then that obviously is a bit of an indicator there that you might not be wired the same.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
So that's kind of how that happened. And the way it is here, I believe, or at least at the time, it's a pain in the ass. Like, it's nothing new about the mental health system in Canada is not great. The support, the really anything about it, they'll give you medication quick, but figuring out what's going on first, you know, it's a fun ride. So she said, well, you can go and to this testing center, and it'll take, I don't know how long it'll take, whatever, it'll be $3,000, and then you'll have to see a psychiatrist once. And I'm like, why am I seeing a psychiatrist once? I was like, wouldn't you be more like knowledgeable to know if I had ADHD? I've been working with you like every other week for how long now? Like, you know everything, you see me, like I tell you everything. How is seeing a psychiatrist one time? Because they can prescribe, right? So it's the psychologist who will listen and do the talk therapy and give you the tools, and then the psychiatrist is the one who would give you the meds,
right?
So I could just go to a psychiatrist once and then write a test, pay $3,000, and then get medication. And I was like, oh my god, man, like, help me out here. So she said the other option is, because you've been seeing me for so long, if you have a healthy relationship or like a good relationship with your family doctor, you can tell them that you've been seeing me, and I can talk to them to confirm that it's true. And you can see if they will write you a prescription for something, and to test out. And I was like, nice. So I walked into my doctor, or talked to my doctor, and I wanted to make sure that they knew that I wasn't like abusing drugs, because it's apparently super easy maybe to get this type of thing, and it shouldn't be, right? For obvious reasons. And so I went to the doctor and I was just like, I think I have ADHD. He's like, okay, you want a prescription? I'm like, you want the rest of the story, dude? Like, what? Like, do you, like, what? And I did say that. I'm like, well, maybe I've been, here's my psychologist number. Like, call her and talk to her. Like, I'm seeing someone. I'm not just here to like scoop a script or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyways. And that's how I was able to get that part of it figured out. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And so then you had been speaking with someone for a long time who could advocate for you. Okay.
Oh yeah. So yeah, that's kind of how that helped. And then it's just same with every diagnosis, I think, finding the right medication and dose and what works and what doesn't work. What side effects are you going to have today? Mm-hmm. It's like, that's also a whole other experience, you know, finding the right one. But now we're here reading books and shit.
Yeah, doing good and shit. So you said that you might not be wired the same. Was this something you feel as though even as a young child you struggled with, or was there a turn of events that maybe made you or gave you more anxiety to lead to things like suicide and self-harm, things of that sort?
I think that it has always, well, actually, I know it has been always there, because when I remember being little, like, how old was I when I was on the farm? I don't know, 10-ish. And my parents had to buy me, do you remember Nail Biter? Have you ever seen that? It looks like if you guys don't know what it is, it looks like a little nail polish bottle, and it's a clear liquid, and it says Nail Biter on it in red. Yeah. And you paint your fingers with it. It's like, it dries and goes away. But then when you put your fingers in your mouth, it tastes like shit, like awful. Oh. So I was biting my fingers so bad all the time, which is like an indication of like high anxiety right there. That my parents bought me these things. My fingers would always be bleeding and gross. And that's really young to be mm-hmm. wound for sound. And then I graduated because I realized if I didn't put them in my mouth, I could just rub my fingers together and use my fingernails. So still to this day, my entire life, like, I just am always doing that. Mm. And that's, yeah. And that started very young. Yeah, so that'd be one like evident indicator for sure.
Yeah. And just, I mean, about specific things that would happen, or like, did you enjoy going to school? Was it, you know, some kids don't like to go to school, say, or I'm just curious to know how, you know, what triggers you.
With the one thing is, boredom is terrible. That's okay. Like a death sentence for me. So if I need something stimulating to do while I am doing things. So if I was bored, like, or sitting down or had to be still, then that was a way for me to kind of still be doing something, I think. Because I just noticed I'm doing it right now as I sit down and talk to you. And so now I try and buy like rings and stuff to wear to that I can just kind of turn. But boredom, it's like, it's the most painful thing. Like every cell in my body is going to explode in not a fun way. Not like sparkles, like, you know, like nuclear. And what is a good example? Oh, talking even. When I call people that I love, who I want to talk to, I generally am on the phone for a bit, 'cause I like to have deep conversations with my mm-hmm. friends and family. I always have to pair it with an activity. I can't just like lay on the couch and call somebody. Like, I don't even know how that works. I don't know how people do it. I have no idea. Makes no sense to me. So I have to pair it with other activities. So it's like, oh, can we get on the phone today? It's like, yeah, sure. And then I'll look at my list of things to do. Nice. Laundry's a great one. I can do laundry and talk on the phone, go for walks, talk on the phone. I draw circles and fill them in. That's not really a task, but I got to be doing something, because otherwise it's like I'm a little bit I'm a little bit in outer space. And it helps me keep a foot on the ground.
You're doing a good job of keeping busy though, because you do all the things. So you have different creative outlets for different emotions. Have you seen the movie? Do you know what I'm going to say? It's a cartoon, Inside Out.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Really great.
Okay.
Really great. Say,
how did you like it?
I loved it. I should watch that again. I thought it was really great that there was a movie like that for children. Mm-hmm. To help them better understand. I mean, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it as an adult, and I think adults, it would help adults understand as well. But to have kids be, you know, like blue and green and, you know, these colors, and associate them with emotions and see the facial expressions and see them behave. It's like, wow. Okay. You know, fun education.
Yeah. Great movie. Didn't get enough like publicity because, mm-mm. you know, they don't want people to be better and know their emotions.
I know.
I don't know who they is, but they.
What?
I don't know. I felt like you there for a minute. How sometimes in your shows you stutter and you're like, blah, blah, blah.
I just
felt like that. I got a total blank.
none of my listeners are offended by that whatsoever. That's par for the course. Nice.
Yeah, right.
Turns out it's contagious.
Apparently. Holy shit. Got a brain fart. How was your high school experience? I hated high school.
Garbage, trash, pile of shit.
Your very first episode, you spoke with a friend. I don't know if you said best friend, but it was a great episode just to hear kind of the start. I love that banter back and forth with friends type of thing.
Oh, it's the best.
It was a really good episode. You're like a blanket, you know, all sprawled out to like capture the sound. I totally felt it. Just was good vibes episode. But I'm curious from listening to that, and I want to know about your high school experience. And were you depressed in high school?
Oh yeah, it was a gong show. But I think too, like it was ADHD all the entire time. So I was so depressed for sure. Yeah. I did have so much anxiety, and I did drink too much, and I did do all these things, but it was all kind of underneath all of all that was like, well, this is kind of why, you know, if I had this shit figured out, I would have had a total different experience. But I wouldn't go back and change it. I also just wouldn't go back because I'm not fond of it at all.
I'm sorry. I thought it was an adult, like your alcohol and all of those things had happened more in your adult years. So all of, you know, these emotions and things were happening during high school as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's tough. Okay.
Oh, I know. It's like the most fun ride roller coaster that I never got to get off of.
Yeah. Like I'm watching Euphoria right now. Are you watching?
Oh yeah. Yep.
So, you know, I look at that and I did some things, but it was after high school. Like in high school, you know, we drank once in a while because I went to OAC. So I was 19 in high school.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm in Windsor. You're in Stratford?
Yeah.
Okay. Windsor had a huge bar scene when I was in my 20s. So we were going out at later in high school, but nothing like, I did not have an addiction in high school, you know, so I didn't realize, I was assuming and projecting because of my own life that all of these things had happened more in your adult years.
Oh God, no, I just was really excited and started young. And it didn't matter. There's no bars here. I mean, there are, but it's not like they're a little, we were underage at the time. And but it didn't stop us. It's just now you just do it in a garage, or now you go to a bush party. Yes, that is a thing. Or a barn party or a shop party. And it, you know, where there's no really regulation.
Yeah.
Or anything. And it's just a gong show. Cause instead of walking around with like a vodka crayon, you're walking around with a 2-6 in your hand. It's just not a good plan.
Vodka crayon. Oh, memories.
Yeah, not cool.
Are you sober now from alcohol?
I drink. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
You're able to drink a little bit. That's good.
Yeah. If I go out, not that I do really, but like to, events or anything, like I'm going to a birthday party. Is today Friday? Oh, I'm going to a birthday party tonight for a couple hours. I will not be drinking at all. But, and I will also have a time to show up and get the F out, you know, to maintain my sanity. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem like sitting at home having a glass of wine with dinner, or, you know, like that's fine now. Mm-hmm. But, other than that, it's just, I just can't. Yeah. And I also feel now like I associate it with, a failure. So I feel like if I make that choice or, do decide to drink like two bottles of wine or like go to a party and like make that choice, I feel like I fail. And that is the worst feeling ever for me.
Right.
Is failing.
For an addict or recovery.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think that it seems as though you're in, the mindset of, you know, you're having a drink of wine for the taste, not to get drunk. You don't want to get wasted and hide behind your feelings or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of, like I said, your growth. It's great. Your actions are speaking louder than your words. You're doing the work and it's obvious. I hope you're proud of yourself too.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yeah. I definitely do feel proud. Came quite far, not as far as I, you know, I'm still have a lot of things on my list I'd like to accomplish. I don't think I'll ever stop, but I'm proud of definitely the changes that I've made and the strides that I've had.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm sure your family and you mentioned earlier support system is part of you as well. And sometimes that's all we need to hear, is that people have our backs and no matter what we're doing, they support us. That's part of recovering and keeping healthy.
Yeah. And you know what? It's so underrated too. Like even if you take the alcohol or any type of addiction aspect out of it, just having, in one of my podcast episodes, I call it a 5-star family, like having, looking down at your hand and counting your fingers and knowing that you have 5 people in your life that you can call, that support you. And if you don't have those people in your life, I didn't for a while, you have to actively seek them out, find them and pull them into your life. You know what I mean? Because I think that a big part of at least my experience is recognizing that something's wrong, wanting to make the change and then doing the making the changes is the most important part. Actually taking action. Like if you had someone who was close to you in your life that was a bad influence, but you guys are best friends, but they're a bad influence. And every time you get together, you're doing stuff that it is not conducive of your goals or the type of character you want to be, then you have to actively decide how much time you're going to allocate to spending with that person. You can still love them a boatload. It's, you know, and move with love and stuff. But making those decisions and deciding that you want to better yourself and deciding that you want to overcome your whatever it is you're going through, it plays a huge role too. I remember, I have a story.
Yes, tell me.
I had a really big falling out with a very close family member of mine, and it was really not fun. And I remember because I was in therapy at the time, and I'd also taken a bunch of extra psychology and like abnormal psychology courses in college. So I learned a lot through that, and you can apply that stuff to everyday life. Oh my gosh, highly recommend. Mm-hmm. I knew right away, like this person was a motherly figure to me, and now they're gone because not gone, but like they died. I mean, gone as in like, I was mistreated like exceptionally. So I remember in that moment thinking right away, I need to find a new, like female figure in my life right away. So I wrote out a list of people that I knew immediately in my life that I could pull from. and actively put in place, like, I'm going to call this person on this day, this person on this day, this person on this day, and build those, that connection mm-hmm. between those people so that it's stronger, so that I myself as an individual am not growing, lacking that pillar, you know. And you could apply that same concept to like your mom, your dad, your aunt, mm-hmm. your whoever. It doesn't have to be exactly that person. Like, you can still have that role filled, but maybe it'll fall into your lap by the grace of God. Maybe they're already there and you can just kind of shift your energy a bit. But I think if you don't have it, you have to seek it out as well. Mm-hmm. You know? So that really highly recommend that.
Yeah, you've got all the tools, which is so good. I often tell friends, I feel as though I'm somewhat of a coach to a lot of people as well, just based on the advice I'm asked. But I always say, you know, use your tools that you have. And most of us that I'm speaking of do. And when you have them, it's hard to forget them. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to hear you have your tools. And I want to touch base quickly before we wrap this up. I don't want to take your whole day, but I was listening to your music last night, specifically the song Addict. So at first, I absolutely didn't know what to expect because I didn't know what type of music it would be or whatnot. So at first, as I was listening to it, I wasn't sure, because you're a comedian, mm-hmm. if there was going to be some type of comic relief within this song. And then towards the end, I was crying. I'm a very emotional person, but it was really deep. So when you wrote me back last night and said rap, when you're rapping or singing or whatever you're doing, it's usually associated with anger. And I could feel your anger within the music, also your passion. Mm-hmm. But I could feel it before you even told me that. It was lovely. It's poetry. I wish you would maybe even recite it in a poem as well, because it's a beautiful song. Great job.
Thank you. I wish maybe I should do that. Like, just read it.
Read that, it, like, put it on your website, put the lyrics. It was great. It was fantastic. I loved it. I just spoke over you. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. No, that's okay. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm also glad, I'm saying this with love, but I'm glad you cried, because I worked really, really hard to elicit that type of emotional response from people who watched it. And I tried my best with acting, and I did a lot of work outside of that, like, 3.5 minute video. Mm-hmm. to try and get that. So thank you for telling me that, and with love, I'm so happy you cried, because I feel like, wow, I executed, you know.
Yeah, we could not, there was no underlying basis behind my emotion except for the fact that I was really feeling it was penetrating me, your emotion, throughout the video. I'm glad that it wasn't just a song, that it was a video behind it. I'm sure you worked really hard on that. Or
yeah,
you can tell. Great job.
Thank you.
Yes, I wanted to mention that. Also, everyone listening, this is huge. Artists don't give discounts. So if you use the code blue, is it blue 50?
Yeah, blue 50.
Blue 50, 50% off of this amazing woman's art. Check it out. It will vibrate through to you. There are so many of them that I love. Use that code BLUE50. I'll tag all of your socials and that code. Maybe a trigger warning. I was given the advice. I love feedback. Do you love feedback from your pod?
Absolutely.
Okay. I get the best. I mean, I have like the top 10 closest people that give me feedback. You probably have those too, those hardcore OGs that just love your shit.
Yeah.
So I get feedback, and the feedback was, please put a trigger warning for my episode that I put out this week. And I think I'm going to start doing that, because I think it's just necessary to let people know that there's sensitive topics spoken about. But it's all with love, right? Like you said.
We are totally on the same wavelength because I recorded an episode 2 days ago and I was thinking in my head, a quarter way into it. And I paused and I say it out loud in my podcast. Oh, this is probably one of the ones that should have had a trigger warning at the beginning. Because you're right. Some people can't handle certain things, but but I don't know.
Yeah.
I also think like if we forget, people can read the descriptions too. Like if, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it just out of respect for my peeps.
Your OGs.
My OGs. Yeah, I can't believe I used that term, but I did. Thank you so much for this. This has been beautiful. Not really blue. I'd say more like teal.
Ooh, because I feel love that color.
Yeah. Is blue your fave color?
My favorite color is black.
Me too. Yes.
That's like my favorite color for sure. Ooh. I love it. But it's technically a shade, so if we want to really get down to it, then my favorite color would be kind of like a tealy blue.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
This is awesome. I appreciate your time and your creativity, and I'm excited to see what you bring in the future. And I'm excited to just be an Instagram friend. Maybe one day we can meet. I don't know.
I know. We don't really live that far.
We don't. Ugh. We really don't.
Roadie!
I'll come and watch a Shakespeare play because that's what I associate. Stratford? Is it Stratford?
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Okay.
Yep. All over the place.
Yay. All right, girl. Thanks so much. I will talk with you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Cue ending music.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da.
Bye.
Bye.